And good morning, everybody. Today is the 27th of September. It's a Monday. Mr. Rob is on board with us. Good morning, sir.
Hello, Brian.
And all the ships at sea, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, well, we've got all kinds of stuff that we can kick and ponder and talk about. But before we do all that, we are going to have our question. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Now, this one might have a little bit of cultural association for you. Okay?
Oh, all right.
Why is a crescent moon carved into so many outhouses that you see in pictures and movies and historically?
I have no idea.
Love the delay, though. That was perfect. You're actually contemplating what might be the... when outhouses were in wide use, many people were unable to read. So men's and women's outhouses had to be identified with symbols. The crescent moon, symbolizing Luna, the moon goddess of Roman mythology, had become the universal symbol of womankind. So it was used to identify the ladies' outhouses. The sunburst, symbol of the Sol, S-O-L, the sun god, was used for men's outhouses. With time, the men's outhouses fell into disuse and were soon abandoned. Apparently, men found ways to get along without having enclosed facilities. Okay, we'll just kind of roll past that one. The ladies' outhouses, however, were better maintained and lasted longer. And that's why you see the crescent moon in so many outhouses shown in historical pictures.
Okay, that's because they're old and they were kept up.
Yes, basically that's the summation of it, yeah.
Got it. All right.
Yeah. So I was out of the neighborhood last week and had a lot of people ask, so I presume that you, are being out of the neighborhood, were also asked what happened with the recall. So I'm going to ask you that same question. What happened to the recall? Was that how you had anticipated it? I was surprised.
Yeah.
But
well, no. Ballot harvesting is a really powerful tool, and I don't know exactly what it would have been without ballot harvesting, but the Democrats were very organized, and it was about that simple.
Now, by ballot harvesting, for those unfamiliar, what are you referencing?
Basically, you can get a vote for a friend of a friend, and it is... kind of a license to do dishonest things, but I'm not going to say this was a corrupt election. I'm just saying they probably played by the rules, and the rules allows ballot harvesting.
I found it intriguing that Larry Elder was made out to be the bad guy, which kind of ran counter to some of the stereotypical that is utilized. The fact that he was a conservative Black man, or was a conservative radio talk show host? Which do you think caused more concern for those that voted in opposition to having the recall?
That is a great question, and my suspicion is it's almost impossible to distinguish the two. I mean, a conservative's bad to them, and so is a conservative Black man. So I think that's a close call.
As it was getting closer and closer, it was intriguing, to at least for me, to hear the messaging. And it wasn't that Newsom was doing a good job, it was that the GOP was looking to take California back. So it was almost an anti-conservative vote rather than a pro-Newsom vote.
Yeah. Well, I do have something that I wish every legislature and Congress would propose nationally. That if an elected official mandates a mask and is caught on camera, time verified, without a mask, that they are removed from office. I am tired of the hypocrisy of wear a mask, but I don't have to. I mean, the pictures of Pelosi, AOC, et cetera, without their masks, and Gavin Newsom, of course. We can't have a class system, do as I say, not as I do, type of situation in our society. It's just wrong. It's morally very discouraging.
So was this recall attempt a harbinger of next fall, or I guess this coming winter?
Well, I don't think that the Democrats, it's very early, but right now I think the Democrats are at a terrific disadvantage just because of how poorly they have done things, and there's not one identifiable success. I guess there's success in ramming things down someone's throat, but there is not success in the sense of truly changing our society and making it a better place.
So with the challenges that are there, was this, man, just swallowed wrong. I'm in so much trouble here. what's the legacy of this election recall?
A footnote in history. I mean, under any reasonable measure, Newsom's not an effective governor. He's a hypocrite. And really, what I find sad is this the best we can do? These are not very outstanding people. I mean, would you hire Gavin Newsom? No. I mean, it's just too bad. But that's where we find ourselves.
Well, one thing that
I'm optimistic about where we're headed as a society.
Now, Elder said that he was not interested in running for election as a regular traditional candidate. Is there anybody that's in the fellow from San Diego? Is he looking to backfill into that slot? Who are you looking at for a contender next, well, I guess in a couple of months?
Well, I think the real big obstacle for Republicans is statewide name recognition. There isn't one. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, to the extent he was a Republican, had name recognition. There is not the equivalent name recognition on any person right now. And so I'm more excited about the Senate or the House elections than I am about statewide elections at this point.
Fair enough. Yep. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. New Woods Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking, Rob. Winston, can you tee me up here? Thank you. With Rob Arkley. Rob, with the situation that California is looking at, with the election cycle coming up, with some of the different activities that are going on, how do you find candidates or people that are interested in political office? I mean, they don't hang out at the bars or at the social clubs and just kind of identify themselves or hang out in that special room. How do you find people that are willing to go through the gauntlet for public service?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people don't start out wanting to be in politics. They're forced into it by the total lack of competence by people running, and then there are people who just want the power and to embed their views on all of us. So there are two different reasons. from what I can see. The people want to serve because they're very upset, and then there are people who want to just impose their views on everybody.
What happened to the concept of service? Yeah, it's my time. I'll do 4 years on the school board. I'll do 4 years on a city council. You know, no aspirations, no desires to go beyond. Do they just kind of run into the brick wall after being there for a little bit, or everybody taking pot shots at them?
You know, it takes a lot of time to be in elected office. And I think a lot of people are surprised once they're elected how much time it actually does take. And so and campaigning is a nonstop event as well. And so it's just not an easy place to do things. Now, should we all do it? I suspect we should. And do I think that we're going to get more participation? Yeah, I do. I think actually a lot of people are pretty tired of what's going on. So I'm overall optimistic.
New youngers or just new blood into the pool?
I think both. I think a lot of people are, and I think a lot of people get that it's not a profession. It is a, too many people just go up the ladder in politics and they aggressively want to be those things. And so I think we pay them too much for what they do. We give them pensions that are too much. So the incentives are in the wrong place. They're not service. They're enrichment. I mean, look at Bonnie Neely. My God, what do we pay her a year?
Yeah, well, and state appointed is a whole different level of politics also, and I suspect that many will go there because they don't have to go through that campaign process.
Absolutely. If you can get appointed to a good commission that pays, why campaign at all? It pays more and it's not as hard.
Well, and I would think also, I'm trying to be a little altruistic on this, if you have an area of interest, it's a more narrowly defined position also. You don't have to be overseeing everything. You can kind of focus in on one area or another.
You're right. You can make a surgical strike on things and potentially make a big difference.
Yeah, hopefully on the positive side, on something along those lines.
Absolutely.
So what kind of trend are you feeling across the country? General frustration with what's going on? Concern? Fear? Excitement? Pleased? I mean, what are you hearing?
I'm hearing more disgust. I'm hearing Democrats I know think that a lot of people are crazy on the left who have been elected into office. I'm just hearing that the country doesn't really want to go left the way they're being suggested.
So as we come up with some more of these votes before this next congressional cycle of campaigning, do you think that we're going to see a lot of the 50-50s? Do you think it's not going to make to the point, some of these bills, to the point of being voted on because of fear of a backlash?
I think you have to understand Nancy Pelosi's and most Democrats' strategy is when they have numbers, and this is the case, you make the change that you can, as far left as you can, because it's terribly hard to undo policy once it's in place. And so if Nancy Pelosi gets this embedded free schooling and free other stuff, but what happens is that she loses majority next term, she will be perfectly good with that.
Because she did strike when the window of opportunity was there.
That's it.
So we should be paying attention here. Well, when do issues become campaign issues? Christmas time?
California, they become campaign issues at a really odd time because our primary is so early.
Right.
In Louisiana, they become issues much closer to the election cycle, which is much closer to the national election cycle.
So it just depends on the calendar then.
That makes sense,
yeah. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We are back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, the challenges with what we're seeing nationally, gas prices have gone up, and they may have settled a tad, but not too much. Food prices certainly have gone up. Labor in many markets is going up. And we're seeing an awful lot of the traditional canaries in the mine shaft for inflation running amok happening. But yet we've got this overlay of the COVID and the virus and what's going on. So even our base reference points now are kind of sideways. And then you throw in the fact that government has redefined unemployment and inflation over the last 25 or 30 years. How do we know where we are and what to do and even what direction to look at?
Well, that is such a great thing, your question you've asked, because actually, who do we really want to ask about whether there's inflation? Joe Consumer. Because it's clear that there's inflation. If you pay bills, you go to the store to buy groceries, et cetera, it becomes unambiguous that there are huge inflation problems. Part of the issue is right now is we define inflation far differently than we did when Jimmy Carter was president. Jimmy Carter, everyone talked about the 12 or 13% inflation. Well, if we defined inflation today that they say is 1 or 2%, I don't know, it would be up at that high level of we'd be at 11% right now. It just would be. So we've defined our way through some of the issues. But everyone knows, boy, prices have gone up. I can't buy as much as I used to.
Yeah, and then you have the compounding of the, I guess, the invisible taxes, you know, the gas tax on the trucker who's delivering the items from the farm to the processing facility, and then that gets compounded on and built on and built on, and pretty soon you're paying four or five times for gas taxes that you never see. I mean, it just never broken out, along with some of the other elements that are there. Do you think that we're going to see a passage of Pelosi and Biden's next request for that, and I guess Schumer also, the investment, the $2 or $3 trillion piece of legislation that's kind of been circulating around but really isn't being pushed right now?
Oh, it's being pushed. It's coming to a vote this week.
Well, that's why I was, yeah, it had been delayed, and then I was coming back up because, I guess, what, some public pressure on it? Or not everybody was jumping on board, or they didn't have veto proof, or I mean, something was going on there.
Yeah, it's a problem. And do I think it'll pass? Yeah, I actually think they will get something done, and Manchin will fold, or Sinema will fold. So I actually think it's going to happen.
Without Harris having to vote?
Yeah, I do.
So let's run that one out. So that happens, Okay. Do those that vote for it from traditionally more conservative-leaning jurisdictions, do they survive?
Well, there aren't many conservative Democrats right now. I mean, if any. So I think they're voting what they believe their constituents want.
But where do independents fit into those districts and with their tendencies towards a more conservative approach to financing?
I think that it's like I said, they get as much as they can get with the votes they have. And if they can get more, they always try. But overall, they're not going to push it forward. They don't care about losing temporary control. What they really care about is the permanence of the situation, and they would rather embed their liberal principles than do it another way. Does that make sense?
And have those electeds go down with the ship. And that's an acceptable cost, and they know that going into the vote?
Yep. They've made the progress, and because it won't be undone.
So for somebody who, let's say, is a two-term congressman or congresswoman that does that and is voted out, are they promised government largesse in the future or consulting positions? Why would somebody, once you achieve that position and you have that power and you have that influence and you have what you've been striving for, give it all up?
That's so true. Brian, you're right. You're 100% right. It's just difficult.
Yeah, and like you said, maybe it's just a different breed of cat.
It might be. I don't like the way our society is evolving, in that we're being wedged and balkanized and tribalized. Why don't we just all admit we're Americans? Let's do what's best for America, however we define it. But let's not split ourselves into this group, this group, this group, this group. That's not productive. We're Americans. Let's just do it that way. It's incumbent upon us to stop this wedging and splintering of our society.
Well, in the old days, we'd say because there was money attached to it, you know, in this group or that group, and you could get special grants, special funds, special soft touches, but I suspect that a lot of those borders have been taken down, and now it's just us versus them, rather than worrying about trying to elevate one group over another.
I guess you're right. I hate to think that this is where we find ourselves, Brian. Don't you?
Yeah. I go back to Roger Rodoni, and he was a history teacher, but also certainly a student of politics, right? He said, we're not on a continuum, we're on a pendulum. And I keep using that frame of reference in my head, looking for when is the pendulum going to hit mass and then start returning back towards the middle. And that's kind of what I was sensing was happening this summer, but anymore, kind of tough to tell.
Oh, I think we're headed towards a more equilibrium than we have now. That's for darn sure.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking more locally with that reference rather than on a national basis. But if you're reading that in the tea leaves nationally, then that's a good thing also. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, the situation with the Haitian immigrants at the border of Texas, I've got a couple buds who were down there, and they had their perceptions of what was going on. What kind of insight do you have on that other than sadness?
Well, I think what we all have to come to grips with, be they Haitians, be they Hispanics, whatever, this is an invasion under any reasonable definition. And if we don't stop it, we're not a country. And so that's the definition of a country. You do have borders. And I don't get what the Democrats' end game is. Do they think they're going to be voters? Do they think they're going to move them to red states and dilute them? I don't know what their end game is, but it is an invasion.
Well, one of the thoughts that has been kicked out there is that most of these folks would settle in Texas, and that if it flipped that state, that sets up that side of the political ledger pretty strongly into the future.
Oh, I don't think so. I think most people moving into Texas are overwhelmingly conservative, the same as the way Florida is. They are not bringing their California values. They're bringing their anti-California values.
Oh, they're checking them at the state line?
Yep. No. I think I just don't think that's who's moving. I think if you're an elite, California is a great place.
So,
I mean, let's not kid ourselves. The Democrats are now the party of the elite, and the working class are the Republicans. We have simple moral structures and values. It's just not what people perceive and what the press is saying.
So
I've observed it. You've observed it.
Yeah, but I mean, I see them as in singles, not in dozens. The registration numbers, though, would be reflecting that. Or are these folks that in the past might have gone Republican, are they now voting or registering, rather, as independents?
No, we're not seeing that either. I just think there's an ethos and mentality to what they are. And what they are is they're pretty predominantly conservative people that don't want to, they aren't trying to change the state. They're not migrating with the borders. Now, the immigrants, the dirty little secret is the Hispanics are voting conservative and they're moving more conservatively. And it's not working as the plan had been. And I know some Democrats and they're kind of concerned about it. Hey, this isn't what we thought. What are you guys doing? So I kind of enjoy that.
So where then is this power source in voting blocks that the Democratic Party has been able to take advantage of and to utilize and to embolden and to leverage the successes that they have had?
Why are they so alarmed about rules for voting? It's not about voter suppression. It's about cheating. Come on. They just want to be able to cheat. Look at the Arizona audit. Notice it's not been covered. That was a big, big expose on what they do wrong and how they win. They cheat a lot more than one would think. That's why they want no rules. And I mean, wasn't it Stalin who said, it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts them?
Yeah, that's kind of a sobering statement, which has been played out over and over. Yeah, it's that. Does that percolate down to the local elections, do you think?
I don't know. I suspect it does at some level.
Local as in it's small rural, not like a San Francisco or Sacramento where there, yes, it's local, but there's lots of zeros there. I'm thinking the smaller burgs, like the rural counties.
I think in the rural counties, I don't see them changing dramatically. And they might in places like Montana, but Montana's a complicated state. How do you get a Democrat senator from there? Well, you've got a lot of unions. Where are the union people? The unions are in the mining industry. So even though the enviros are trying to kill the mining business, they're doing a lot of different things. And so it's just a nothing is simple. There are a lot of complex things. I like where our country's headed. I like the fact that Humboldt State's expanding. I like the projects that are going on in Eureka. I'm pretty optimistic about what's good for you and me, Brian, in Humboldt County. It's good for all of us.
And look forward to seeing you later this week, too, buddy. Thanks for coming by.
Okay, man. Thank you.
All righty. Safe travels. All right. See everybody tomorrow.